I'll invite you now to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, found on page 661 of the Pew Bible. One of the many history psalms that we find. This one tying in very closely to our passage that we'll be looking at later. Exodus 15, Psalm 66, and beginning our reading at verse 1, and we'll read to the end of the psalm, entitled "To the Chief Musician, a Song, a Psalm." Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honors of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in Him. He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For You, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but You brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into Your house with burnt offerings. I will pay You my vows, which my lips have uttered and my soul has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer You burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. And that ends the reading of God's holy word. May He bless that to our hearts. Blessing upon His word as we come to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we give You thanks with all our hearts, for You are exalted above everything. Lord, we've cried to You when we've needed Your help, and You've heard us. We've walked in the midst of trouble, and You have preserved us. We've hungered and thirsted for Your higher blessings. And You've given us, Lord, the bread of life. You've given us Your Son. Lord, we're thankful that You have blessed us with salvation and for looking after us, both physically and spiritually. And so that we would be able to, say with the psalmist that You are good, that Your praise and thanks is deserved, that Your name is to be honored above all things. And so, Lord, as we turn to You this morning, we pray that You would grant to us the help that we need to understand Your word. Grant to us Your blessing. Grant to us the help that we need, Lord, the illumination of Your Spirit, that we would be taught by You. Hear our prayer. We ask all of this, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles now to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, that's found on page 77 of the Pew Bible. Exodus chapter 15, we begin our reading at verse 1, and we'll read to verse 21. This also will be our text for this morning. Familiar words, or familiar context, actually, the whole section there of God's miraculous deliverance of his people through the dividing of the Red Sea and causing them to walk on the dry ground. And this is the response of Moses to that event in salvation history. Exodus 15, beginning our reading at verse 1. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned into the Red Sea, or in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone till your people pass over, O Lord, to the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. And that ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. I'll encourage you to have that passage open once again, Exodus 15 and verses 1 to 21. dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a story is told of a group of settlers that traveled across the sea. And when they made land on new soil, they sang a song of praise to the Lord. Now today, being Canadian Thanksgiving, you might be thinking that I'm referring to the first pilgrims who came from England, who came to Plymouth and held the first Thanksgiving, had their dinner together in celebration of God's goodness. But these singers that I'm referring to were not the pilgrims in New England who came in the 1600s. These were African Americans in the 1700s, British loyalists, people from African descent. They fought in the British Army during the American Revolution, and for their desire to help Britain, they were given freedom. They were given a promise that they would have a land to be in. Some of them went north to Canada, to Nova Scotia, and settled there. Some went south to the West Indies and settled there. While others settled in the western coast of Africa, in a country we know today as Sierra Leone, which was called the Province of Freedom. Those who arrived in Sierra Leone sang a hymn written by William Hammond, and the hymn goes like this: "Awake and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Wake every heart and every tongue to praise the Savior's name. Sing on your heavenly way, ye ransomed sinners sing. Sing on, rejoicing every day in Christ, the eternal King." And what an appropriate song for them to be singing at a time like this, during their freedom, giving praise to God. It's really based upon Scripture, upon the words of Revelation 15, where it says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And that brings us to our text today. There are many songs in Scripture that are written in thanks to God. Now, most of the time when we think of songs that are written in the Old Testament times, we think of the book of Psalms. That's what we still sing today. But even before the Psalms were written, there was a hymn that was written to God. Even before the Psalms were written, there was a hymn written to the Lord. Whenever God has done amazing works in salvation, there's only one proper response, and that is to worship the Lord. Israel had just been saved. They were set free. They experienced salvation, and there was only one way to respond to God's care and act of mercy, and that was to break forth in this spontaneous, jubilant response of God to God's grace. That's why the Lord has given us the blessing today of psalms and Bible-based, theologically sound hymns to sing. Through them, we're able to express our heartfelt thanks to God for all that He has done. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, consider Exodus 15 and the song by the sea. There's a certain flow or a certain organization to this psalm. The first 10 verses 1 to 10, begin with the past, with praise for what God had done. Then in verses 11 to 13, it speaks of who the Lord is. And then in the remaining verses, it describes what the Lord would do in the future. And so that will be the way that we look at this psalm this morning in those three sections. We see here that there is gratitude given to the Lord, first for what He has done, secondly for who He is, and thirdly for what He will yet do. So first, praise given or thanks given for what he has done. We notice that the very first thing that Moses does is to sing. Verse 1, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The most obvious emphasis here is on what God had done. What had God done for Israel up to this point? That's the question we need to ask. Well, he had done many things. He had sent the 10 plagues on Egypt in judgment for their sin. Pharaoh had hardened his heart, but the Lord kept insisting that he set Israel free, which he wasn't willing to do. So God kept sending plagues. We also know that God was on the side of Israel, even though they were suffering all these bitter hardships. God was on their side. He was on their side to defend them against the arrogance of Pharaoh. However, note that the song at the sea doesn't commemorate the 10 plagues. It doesn't even remember or recall what God had worked in that miracle of the Red Sea crossing. There's no mention of that, of the Red Sea crossing, when God divided the waters and brought them on dry ground. The first 10 verses primarily describe the Lord's overthrow of their enemy, Pharaoh. In an almost matter-of-fact way, Moses describes God's triumph over the horse and the rider who've been thrown into the sea, verse 1 says. God is a man of war, verse 3 says. He entered into hand-to-hand combat with Pharaoh, his chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the sea. Verse 6 says, your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And the rest, verse 8, and with the blast of your nostrils, verse 8 says, the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright like a heap, the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. Pharaoh was proud. He was bloodthirsty, bent on destruction, and he was greedy, always lusting for power over the oppressed people of the Lord. And he was brash, verse 9 says. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill in them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. But in his brashness, as he rushed headlong, that brought him to destruction. Verse 10. This led him and his army into the watery grave. Verse 10 says, you blew with your wind, the sea covered them, and sank like lead in the mighty waters. This was the Lord's doing. God had conquered. He overcame. He brought the enemy down. And that's why Moses proclaimed that the Lord is my strength and my song, my refuge and my protection. That's why God is praised. He's praised for what he has done. Now you might think, well, that's Old Testament. We don't sing that way anymore. We don't do the Old Testament anymore. Well, we do. We're called to do the same thing today. That's how this song is meant for us today. God has vanquished our enemy, Satan, through the work of Jesus Christ. He has put our sin to death in Jesus Christ. Through Christ, the curse for sin has been removed. And there are songs that we find elsewhere in the Bible, in the New Testament. For example, Philippians 2. As it commemorates Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection and his exaltation, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Or consider the words of Revelation 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We do the same thing today in praise of Christ and his victory over our enemies. As that wise adage or that saying goes from Augustine, in the Old Testament, the new is concealed, in the new, the old revealed. And we thank the Lord for that, that he continues to care for us, that assurance that he gives to us. We live in a world that's so chaotic. It's so easy to become overcome with fear, to become overcome with uncertainty. We wonder how we'll be able to make it all through this. Will we have enough money to put food on the table? Will we be able to carry on in these strange and weird times? There are so many things that can cause us stress and unrest. But in a world that's filled with fear and uncertainty, and at a time where there is chaos in the political realm, we can have that peace with the Lord. The Lord is our warrior. He's a man of war. He's conquered our enemy, Satan. He has thrown our sin into the depths of the sea. He's delivered us from the world's clutches. He has placed us in his kingdom when we put our faith and trust in him alone. And he puts us into a community of faith. And through that, he's blessed us in so many ways. So how about you today? Are you thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness? Can you sing the song of the sea regarding God's salvation for you? Can you say for yourself that the Lord is your strength and your song? Well, know that you can sing this song and many other songs of praise with confidence because the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And that's why we too must do the same, giving thanks and praise the way that Moses did. For he has done great things for us. So let us be glad. Well, secondly, we see that there is gratitude expressed for who he is. And we see that in verses 11 and 12. If you look at those verses again, where the highest, this is sort of the height of this song. Verse 11 says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretch out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. God here is praised for who he is. And who is the Lord? Well, he's, first of all, primarily supreme. There's no one like him. No other God. The gods of Egypt are nothing. This was true of the 10 plagues. You know, if you think of the 10 plagues, all 10 plagues were an attack against the idolatry of Egypt. You know, they worshiped the Nile. They thought it would give them life. The Egyptians had festivals that honored the Nile god. The Nile was everything to them. You know, they had this festival at the annual time when the Nile would flood. And everything that was in the water was considered sacred, all the fish and the reptiles. But the Lord struck the Nile with what? By making it blood. Also, cow worship was regularly practiced in Egypt, but their livestock gods like Osiris and Isis were all defeated in the plague of the livestock. And now their Egyptian god, the Pharaoh, was defeated. And indeed, we say with Moses, who among the gods is like the Lord? The answer is obvious. There's no one. There's no comparison. And don't we see the same today? You know, so many worship their ability, their intellect, their human spirit. But it's not your intellect, it's not your brains that will save you. It's not your accomplishments that will make you succeed. We do not get where we are in our own strength. Our strength is in our sovereign God who rules over all. Even in the midst of disappointments and trials, how true that is for us today, how we may rest in the Lord's sovereignty, where we can rest in his strength and wisdom, where there are power struggles in politics, where there's turmoil and unrest within the nations, where people are literally losing their minds. People have lost their minds today. All sense of reason is out the window. Why is that? It's because they've turned to modern idolatry instead of repenting and believing in the Lord. And on this Thanksgiving Day, we can be thankful for who the Lord is and for all that he continues to do, as he is the one over all. Not only is he supreme, he is also glorious in holiness. He's set apart because of his holiness. He is above all that he's created. He's above all that is sinful. He's set apart. He's revealed his holiness. How has he done that? He's done that by punishing sin. And he shows his holiness in redeeming his people in this world from the power of sin. That's why he's to be feared among the nations. He is holy. Now, a lot of people have a lot of trouble with that. Even Christians have a lot of trouble with that. How could God be a God of wrath? How could God punish the world in its sin? How could God be praised by Moses and the people in a time of destruction and defeat? Well, the answer clearly is God is holy. He cannot tolerate sin. And thus he is to be praised for the justice of his wrath. That's what Moses knew. We have to realize again that this song gives praise to the Lord specifically for the death of his enemies. And it is a demonstration of his divine wrath. Here it's important to remember that God's answer is always righteous. It's unlike human anger. His wrath is holy hatred for sin and for those persons responsible for that. God's wrath is just. And that's what we see here in the case of Egypt. You know, they had done harm to his people year after year, century after century. Moses gives praise to God for this. The sea was like that the earth that swallowed up Pharaoh and his army. But we also see here that God is merciful. We see God's unfailing love. Verse 13 says, "You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." This is where God's wonderful work of redemption and saving his people leads Moses to praise God for his mercy, for his loving kindness, for his unfailing love. And what is that unfailing love? Well, it is his loyalty to his people that God is praised for. God is a covenant-keeping God. He's absolutely loyal to his people, and his faithfulness is to his promises. And that, again, is a comfort that we can have today. Because of God's unfailing love, we have ultimately a freedom from sin and the tyranny of Satan. For this we must give God our profoundest thanks. And so how about you? Are you thankful for not only that for what the Lord does, but are you thankful for who the Lord is, for what He is? We can be thankful today for God's many blessings. He has shown Himself to be supreme, to be holy, and to be merciful. And He cares for us even in the ordinary day-to-day things. You know, there's that hymn that was written not that long ago entitled, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And it was not written in a time of sorrow, like when Horatio Spafford wrote that well-known hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, after he lost his family in the sea accident. Great is Thy Faithfulness arose from everyday life where we can see God's faithfulness, and also from the words of Lamentations 3, where it says, but by His mercies we are not consumed, for great is Your faithfulness. And it's also the melody of a simple prayer where we may also offer to God our thanks in everyday life. We may praise God for who He is, and we may be able to say the same thing, that You, in Your mercy, Lord, have led us forth. By Your mercies, we are not consumed. Great is Your faithfulness. So there's thanksgiving, first, for what He has done, second, for who He is, now thirdly, for what He will yet do. As Moses thinks of the present of the people around him and what God had done, he forecasts or he predicts the future. And it's here in a future tense, but it's in a perfect future tense. That is, it's as if it had already taken place. That's how Moses writes the rest of this song. Nations will hear and be afraid, verse 14. The inhabitants of Philistia, the chiefs of Edom, the mighty men of Moab, these and others will be afraid of God's mighty people. And their restlessness and their anxiety is understandable. The Lord was with His people Israel to bring His judgment, just as He had done to Pharaoh. That news would go out into all the earth. And then God would bring them, as you know, to Canaan. Verses 17 and 18 predict that. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of Your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which You have made for Your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which Your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The Lord would do all of this. Yet it's amazing when we follow the rest of the story of redemption, how the Lord was so patient with His people. The Lord was so long-suffering with them. He had just saved them from Pharaoh. And what do we do when we read the next chapter? What are they doing? They're grumbling and complaining. They're complaining about the Lord's leadership. And then after the giving of the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone, they're sinning by worshiping a golden calf. The Lord also brought His punishments on His people for these sins because they failed to obey Him. They had broken the covenant. And yet God was so patient with them. He was so patient. He brought them to Canaan. The book of Psalms are filled with the history about all of this, like the history psalms, like Psalm 104. And this is where we have to pause and must thank God also for what He has done for us, for He also has been patient with us. Have you not seen that? We've failed to live by his standards. We've disobeyed him. We have sinned against him, and yet God has been patient. He still cares, and he provides for his people. He chastens them. And we need to say that same thing that the psalmist did in Psalm 104 as it commemorates these events. It says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. But the psalm goes on to say, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Thank God that he's slow to anger and merciful. We need that. We need repentance today. And thankfully, his mercy is abundantly provided for us in Jesus Christ. So this is the song. It's focused on the Lord. It's focused on what he has done. Do you see that today? Only the Christian can say these words, but only in a slightly different way, in a better way. A Christian may say these words. He may say, I will sing to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord Jesus Christ is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. To say that is to know him personally. And one day there will be great freedom. God will lead his own people to the promised land. Christ will come, and he'll gather all the saints that are his from every nation. He'll bring every sin to judgment, and he'll take his children home. And as we read in Revelation 5, what it says there, what John saw, it says what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name, they held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of ages. And may we also sing that song of Moses, that everlasting song, as the rest of that hymn goes, which I quoted from earlier, sang along the banks of Sierra Leone. Soon you shall hear him say, ye blessed children, come. Soon he will call you hence away and take his wanderers home. Then shall our raptured tongue his endless praise proclaim, and sweeter voices swell the song of the glory to the Lamb. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for the truths that are set before us in this song, written at a time, such a crucial time in the history of the Old Testament. Thank you, Lord, for how it reveals to us what you have done, how it reveals to us who you are, and how it reveals to us what you will do. And we see ourselves in this as well, O Lord, as you are the one who has conquered Satan and death. We belong to a kingdom that will overcome the kingdom of Satan. You also, Lord, are supreme. You're holy. You're merciful. And Lord, you are patient with us. But you do promise to bring us also into Canaan. Help us, Lord, to look forward to that. And to remember that this is our focus in this life, serving you for the rest of our days on this earth into eternity. And so hear our prayer. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.